Philippians 4:19 to 20. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen.
Good job, man. Thanks. What? Hey, wait. Yeah, say something else. You look very
kids,
sporty.
You made good to go to your classes.
Thanks, Sam. Good job. So today we're going to wrap up our Matter of the Heart series that we've been talking about for, wow, there goes like 89% of our church. See ya, kids. Sorry, this is bugging me. There we go. So we're going to wrap up our series on finances and money this morning. So as we've talked about the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about just this issue that it's a matter of the heart that we need to live from. And so have you ever had one of those moments maybe in life where it's been like, wow, that was all great stuff, but now, like, where do I go from here? Like, that was great information or maybe great teaching about something, but it's like, now how do I actually, like, live this stuff out? So I remember, like, when we had our first daughter, Jordan, like, we went all to these classes, like, these birthing classes, and we went to all these different things, and we watched these videos, and it was like, okay, this is great, like, you feel like you're prepared, I'm, like, pumped to become a parent, and then all of a sudden, like, they hand you a baby, and it's like, whoa, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, I don't, like, will I break it? Like, I've never touched a baby before, and I don't know what to do, and then she would, like, cry, and it's like, where's the off switch? Like, can we take the batteries out? Like, how does this stop? Like, I'm not quite sure. At least I wasn't. And then, like, the whole diaper thing. It's like, how do I do this? Like, I have no idea what to do, how to go from here. It's like, I was prepared. At least I thought I was prepared. I felt like my heart was in the right place. And then it, like, came to actually step into action and step into, like, living out this whole parenthood thing. And I was like, wow, like, how now shall I live? Because this seems a little overwhelming. Like, there's no instruction manual for the whole deal. And so for some of you, maybe that's how this series has been. Like, yeah, this is, like, great stuff. This is good heart stuff. But, like, where do I actually go now from here? How actually do I live out my finances with where I'm at, with what I have going on, and actually practically live it out in my everyday life? So before, what we're going to do this morning, I'm really excited about, we're going to have Dave and Laura Hellman come on up and share parts of their story and some steps that they've taken in their life. But before they do, I want to just share a few things to tie this series together, kind of summarize where we've been, and then I'll have them come up, and that's where we'll spend the bulk of our time this morning. So what I want to do, just real briefly, is I want to share just a few of the core values of our denomination that just fit really well with this whole topic that we've been talking about. So if you're not familiar, Mechanicsburg Community Church is a part of the denomination called the Brethren in Christ. So the Brethren in Christ, or the BIC, is this small denomination that's kind of started in this area in Lancaster County and in this region here. Grantham is kind of like a hub, if you will, like the denomination that started Messiah College and on and on. So anyways, this small denomination began in Lancaster County, and there's several congregations right around us. There's about 250 in the U.S. We are one of those. And so all that to say, as a denomination, we have these 10 core values, which are really interesting to read. If you go on our website, you'll be able to read them. I think it's in like the Who We Are or What We Believe section of our website. So I'm not going to list all 10 right now, but it is worth checking out if you're interested in learning more. But there was a few that as I looked through that list really spoke clearly to me, that really I felt like summarized well what we've been going after in this series. And so I just want to highlight three of those now and tie it into the weeks that we've done so far. So the first value that I think is really unique to our denomination, one that I've always really resonated with, is this. It's called living simply. And the way we describe it is, we value uncluttered lives, which free us to then live boldly, give generously, and serve joyfully. And I love this value because I think it really speaks just directly to this idea of it being a matter of the heart. So if we're going to experience freedom in our finances, if we're going to experience freedom in giving, then living simply should be a core value for our lives. So what's that mean? Well, it just means intentionally living with less like clutter, less like stuff, commitments, financial commitments, whatever that may be, so that we have more space to live free in our lives. So just think about this in your home, in your own life. Like if you've ever gone through your closet and made that like Salvation Army drop-off, and you go through everything and you pick out all your clothes and you take all those bags and you go and donate it, doesn't it just feel good? Like it feels like, wow, now I have some space. I feel like I can make sense of things. Like I just feel more calm at my house or whatever that may be, like as we declutter. Well, just think about doing that in your life in general. Like in your commitments, in your finances, in your stuff, like all those different areas. Like what if we lived more simply in all these different areas of our lives so that we had more margin, so we had more opportunity in our lives to give, to serve, to use our finances for others or whatever that may be. And I think the reality is, thinking about this, is we can live on a lot less than what we may think a lot of times. And so this value really ties into how we looked at just our relationship with money and finances is really about our heart, and it's really about worship. Like who or what do we worship? Do we worship God first, or do we worship our stuff? Like, who and what are we worshiping? So Matthew 6:26, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money." So the second core value that I wanted to share briefly is this one that's called relying on God. And it says, "We confess our dependence on God for everything and seek to deepen our intimacy with him by living prayerfully." So again, everything that we have is from God, that we need him in all aspects of our lives, especially in our finances. And that when we trust in him, when we give him all, when we trust in him first, not in our materials, when we truly rely on God instead of our ability to make an income or in our income or our savings or whatever, that's when we are actually able to find true freedom in life in our finances. So this, I felt, really tied into this idea of how do we live content? That if we understand that God is enough, if we understand that his grace, if we rely on him completely for everything, if we live with a sense of gratitude for all that he's done, for all that he's given us, then we can experience more contentment in our life in any and all circumstances. So that contentment really starts with us being able to rely on God for everything in our lives. And so the writer of Hebrews says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And then the third one is this idea of serving compassionately, that we value serving others at their point of need, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we recognize that God has put within us a desire to serve other people. And I believe that many of us have this deep desire that we want to help out. We saw that video, and there's something significant. We're able to step in and help others in their needs and in their place. There's a community. There's a bond that's formed. There's an opportunity for us to partner with God and share the giving heart that he has with others. And I think it's really, really significant for us. And it also impacts, then, our finances. And so last week, we looked at how there's so much freedom in giving and how we can take these intentional steps through the tithe or through giving in our budget to intentionally make sure that we're recognizing that everything is the Lord's and that we want to give, we want to serve him and serve others through our finances. And so there's this freedom in life that comes as we give, as we have open hands, as we extend what God has given to us. And so I want to read this again. Jesus says in Luke 12, he says, "Sell your possessions, give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that don't grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, then that's where your heart is also." So, just to summarize the series real quick, looking at those kind of three core values of our denomination, I thought it was just neat how those really fit in well. So that, you might be sitting like, that sounds great, but like, now what? Like, what do I do with this? How can I actually take steps and intentionally live out this heart change that I've experienced over these last couple weeks? Because the reality is, if we're going to live out this matter of the heart, then we have to take intentional and practical steps to actually pursue this. And maybe very difficult and hard decisions we may need to make in our finances so that we can live differently from the world and allow our hearts to be changed and live with our finances in that way. So now I'm going to invite Dave and Laura Hellman. They are married. They're not brother and sister. I'm going to ask them a few questions about some steps that they have taken in their financial life that relates to this series as well. And hopefully through their story and testimony, you'll pick up on some just practical tips and things that you can do as well. Who wants the blue? Blue. You can have blue. There you go. Take a seat wherever you want. Yeah. Set it up. You get the comfy chair. So, Dave and Laura, do you just want to share a little bit about yourselves and kind of what you do, what you love about life, etc.?
Sure. David Mar Hellman. We both graduated from Messiah, stuck around the area. I'm an accountant. I work for Cure International in the finance department. Cure is a nonprofit that operates hospitals in the developing world, and so I help out with the finances for them.
And I'm Laura. I also graduated from Messiah back in 2008, and I've worked in the adoption field since then. I currently work at Bethany Christian Services in the post-adoption department, so I'm working to help support adoptive families. So we've been in Mechanicsburg. Our family is both within a couple hours of here, and we've been really thankful.
Awesome. Thanks. So you said you graduated from Messiah College. Now, those of us that went there, it's a wonderful school, but it's not the cheapest option on the block. So when you guys graduated college, what was your financial situation as you really began your lives together post-college?
I was really responsible in college. And so, no, I wasn't at all. really, we've talked about it some recently, like, I think now it's a lot more thoughtful as people are going into college about minding financial, like what it's going to cost. Whenever we were going to school, I didn't think about it at all. I just wanted to go to Messiah, and so I went, and I was paying it on my own, and so got into debt. And so I think 5 years, yeah, that fifth year is expensive.
You learned so much more, though.
I think I read recently somewhere between $30,000 and $40,000 is like the average college debt that you come out with. I had a little more than that. I was getting pretty close to $100,000 in college debt coming out of school, as well as some credit card debt, and just not awesome. So we got married right after Laura graduated, about 6 months after Laura graduated, and had about that going into marriage, having normal kind of entry-level paying jobs going
right
from there.
Do you have anything to add to that, or that's good?
Just that I did know about this when we were dating, so that was a conversation we did have, and thankfully I did not have debt coming out of college, so it at least allowed us
right
to kind of work together to that.
Right. So $100,000 in debt, starting this new life together, that may seem to some like a huge number. There might be others that would be like, wow, that would be awesome to only have $100,000 in debt. As you started your jobs together, maybe we just talk a little bit about just some steps that you intentionally took to begin to chip away at that and what that process looked like. And for you guys, just in your marriage as well, like, what were those conversations like? What were the decisions that you made to do that? Because I don't think you won the lottery and just did it that way.
Yeah, that would have been awesome, though. You got to play the lottery, though.
Right.
Around the time probably we got engaged, I was introduced to Dave Ramsey, which is a Christian financial coach, for lack of a better term. Read his book, listened to his podcast, and really got on board with his teaching, which is a biblical teaching around avoiding debt, and if you have debt, getting rid of it as quickly as you can. So we talked through that and just kind of decided that, okay, like, this is a big hill to climb, but we're going to climb it together, and this is going to be a focus going into marriage. So really, coming out of school, I would have said, I'm 100% sure I said at one point to my parents, like, oh, college debt, that's good debt. That's like, that's the good kind of debt. Just really decided that we were going to live simply and attack it.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing, is having those conversations and having them regularly, even though I don't really, it's 10 years ago now, but yeah. I don't remember, but I do know there were so many days I felt so overwhelmed, and how are we, this is going to take us forever, how are we, we're never going to be able to do anything fun, and I kind of always looked at it almost like a weight loss of, like, you want to lose 50 or 100 pounds, and it's like, feels so big, but I think for us, like, we really took it baby steps at a time, and without trying to look ahead and get overwhelmed, just celebrate the little things. So we separated our loans, and so when we'd pay off like a $10,000 loan, we'd be like, yes. Like, we would do something little to celebrate. But I think that was a thing. Staying on the same page, coming together to talk about it,
And so what were some of those steps that maybe you took to pursue like a simple lifestyle to give yourselves margin to pay off that that debt?
I think one of the first things we did was try to make it so that we only lived on Dave's salary. And even though he's an accountant, he didn't come out of college making big money. So
right.
We and my money, my salary wasn't huge, but it was enough that it could slowly, you know, chip away at things. So I think that was the first thing. We made a budget so that we could do that. I'm trying to think what else right now.
I mean, it really was fortunate that we were kind of starting from zero as far as our lives together.
Right.
We could kind of set it up in such a way that we could live on just my salary, and it wasn't like we were cutting all this stuff out of our life. It was more, all right, we're not going to add all this stuff into our life.
Yeah.
So.
Although we did buy a townhome, and in retrospect, had we understood maybe the level of where we were, we wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, we might not have done that, but like, we also, we were talking about this some the other day, like what you get approved for a house.
Right. And like, it's a little different.
It is crazy, like what we got approved for back then, even whenever we had all that debt. But yeah, I mean, even just things like cars, like we, you know, kept Laura's car and got me like a simple car and didn't go out to eat a lot. Like we were just talking, like reminiscing about our date nights at Subway with a coupon. And like that was like
every
our date
Friday
night
we look
was,
forward to that.
Yeah.
But it is, like, it was finding ways to be creative. Like, we have 8 nieces and nephews, and so there's lots of Christmases and birthdays, and you feel like you want to give them things. But so we just started thinking, like, okay, we'll have them for a sleepover, or we'll do these other things. And so similar with other gifts and things, because there's always things that come up. A friend's retiring or, you know, just got a master. You know, there's always celebrations, and so I think it can be hard because you want to be involved, but you don't necessarily want to be. But we know friends, too, that have said, hey, like, we can't come out this time. We really want to next time. Or do you want to come over to our house? And we'll, you know, trying to find ways where it's not like, oh, I can't do anything. Because we were not living on, like, ramen. We were not, like, extreme with our lifestyle. But we were trying to be intentional of not going to excess.
Yeah. I was going to ask, like, what's that balance? I know, I mean, everybody has to kind of come to that on their own as far as, like, what do you cut out? What do you not cut out? So just what was that process like for you guys deciding, okay, you know, eating out is maybe one area that we can cut back on or we can really intentional, like, and also, did you ever struggle with frustration of, like, why do my friends get to go out to these places and, like, we don't, or we're choosing not to, or... Well, like just the process of that, how was that for you guys and maybe just how you came to some of those things?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, there's not a formula. I mean, a lot of it was just talking it through, of talking about, you know, what is our budget going to be this month, and then next month kind of evaluating it and looking at it again and saying, did that work? Did that not work? Do we want to tighten? Can we tighten up some places? Can we loosen up some other places?
And we also did the cash in the envelopes, which is one thing Dave Ramsey talks about, which was super helpful. So we had an envelope for groceries, an envelope for clothes, and we took out the cash out of the bank, and every beginning of every month, start with that. So you really realize quickly, like, okay, when you actually have to pay the cash rather than swipe the credit card, you do feel it more. And so, but it was one of those things that if we had something fun we could go to, maybe take something out of one envelope, you at least see it more.
Right.
We felt like.
Yeah, I mean, as far as kind of feeling that tension of, oh, like our friends are doing this or whatever, I think I felt that, I mean, at least for me, probably the place I felt it the most was with like a car. Like I still don't drive like a really fancy car or anything like that, but like in theory, we could have like afforded the car payment on like a pretty nice car or just a nicer car and things like that. And so that was something that I kind of battled with somewhat during that time of just like, oh, it'd be really nice to be able to get a little bit nicer car or whatever. But I think the fact that we were on the same page made some of that comparison a little bit easier, where it was just like, oh, it's not just like, oh, you can't have that. It's like, no, we're choosing not to have that because we have a goal in mind and we're going after this goal.
Right.
And so I think that made it a lot easier.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to add one thing we forgot to say, too. We also, I think one of the hardest things was anytime we got money, so for our wedding or for birthdays, like, we just had this understanding, like, we don't even look at it. We put it right to too alone.
Yeah.
So like a discipline that was hard. That was a hard one. But
yeah, I'm sure. I was just gonna say. I think for people that if you're married, I think just hearing that. Hopefully you hear that. Just the importance of being on the same page and talking through. Okay, what are we like? What are we going to cut out? What are we going to agree to? So it's not like Laura's cutting everything out and like Dave's running around golfing every weekend, enjoying the high life or whatever. But, just to be able to be on the same page, recognize that you're both making sacrifices and that you're both committed to do that. And so, yeah, whenever there's something that comes up, it's like we know already like the purpose of, you know, we know what we're going to use this towards, which is going to be to pay down debt instead of kind of having this discussion of like, well, I really want this new car now or this thing, you know, kind of on the same page with your goals, which I think is just really important. For those of you that are married and if you're single, I think it's the same thing. Like just thinking through what are my top priorities, kind of reprioritizing things financially. How is God leading me? And then to stick to those things. It's so easy to be like, okay, but now I can kind of bend it or whatever. And it's just, I mean, it's like this in any new discipline that you're trying to incorporate in your life, whether it's financial, diet, or whatever. It's like it's so easy to all of a sudden just begin to cheat whenever there's a little bit of margin, what it seems like all of a sudden. So I think that was just a really good thing. I hope you all heard that. I did want to ask you guys, too, just as you were walking through that, you know, what was your philosophy on giving and tithing and those things.
Yeah, I mean, we again talked about it kind of at the onset, but we both grew up in Christian homes and are Christians and wanted to have tithe be a primary part of what we did, and so we decided kind of on the front end we're going to do that through this, even though it'd be really easy to kind of justify to say like, well, we'll shrink it down a little bit, and so gave through all that time, and then. It's been really fun now that we're kind of through that to be able to increase that a little bit, as well as whenever kind of needs come across, be able to meet those needs without worrying, like, are we going to have enough money to, like, pay all our bills this month or whatever. And that's, I mean, we didn't talk about that a lot, but just continuing now to, like, continue to live below our means so
right.
that we have that margin to meet needs and as well as save and do fun things and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think that was one way we just, without even knowing it, we're showing, like, we trust you, God. Like, we trust that even though we're giving tithes in our head, it's like, oh, if only we just, like, we could be done faster. And we do know people that have that mentality of we want to pay off debt and then we'll tithe more later in life. But for us, it was a little different. And so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's. I think the thing that stuck out to, as you guys were sharing that was, you know, there's like a gift there as you're starting off, if you're walking through paying off debt, that you have to like learn to live on less. And then when that's gone, you have this incredible opportunity now to have more and to be able to give more. And you're used to like knowing how to live on less. And I think that can be like the whole blessing of kind of being overwhelmed financially sometimes, is that it can really set you up for greater future freedom in the future as you walk through it well. And just to understand, like, this isn't going to be forever, but that you can learn some really important lessons of, like, you know what, I can really be content with a lot less because I'm doing it now and life is all right. And then as you move on from that, you have this opportunity now to continue living in that simple lifestyle because you're used to that, but now you have more income to be able to share and give and to bless others with, which has probably been really fun. So I want to ask, too, just, like, what impacted all of this, like, as you guys were walking through it, what did that have on you just spiritually, in your spiritual walk? I'll just talk a little bit about that, the hard issues of it.
Yeah, I think, if I'm being honest, I think early on, I didn't really connect it spiritually. It was more like, we've just got to get this done. How are we going to do it? Let's think of a plan and, like, do this on our own, you know? At least for me, but I think over the years and as we've paid off debt and come to a little bit of a different place, I think we really do feel that freedom, and I think that kind of like Dave was talking about, that spiritual freedom and that ability to bless others, and too, just the humility too that I think we are continually trying to learn,
right.
But of It doesn't need to be a big thing. People don't need to know, but being grateful to God that we are able to be in a place like
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, there really was, we didn't think about it quite like that. I mean, I think even as we've grown in our faith, like, no, understanding some things that aren't, like, overtly spiritual, like, all the spiritual stuff doesn't happen, like, while you're reading the Bible
right.
and all that kind of stuff. But, like, the freedom that we have now, and, like, as we were talking about preparing for this, one of the things that we talked about was, like, a couple years ago, there was a point where we really thought we were going to go overseas with Kira for a time. And just the fact that like financially, that wasn't a conversation that really had to happen. Like, we knew that we were fine and we could go do that, whereas if we had this, like, you know, cloud of debt hanging over us, it would have been a lot harder to say, well, like, what's going to happen to all this debt while we're gone? And just feeling the freedom to walk into that.
Yeah, that's great. And then just how long did it take you to walk through this period till you guys were able to pay it all off?
4 or 5 years? Yeah, somewhere in between 4 and 5 years.
That's awesome.
So, created all the spreadsheets. I'm the nerd kind of person that created all the spreadsheets with all the monthly amounts. And, you know, we probably didn't talk about it every month, but every couple months you would look at it and say, like, okay, like, based on our most recent projections, it's now here,
right.
this date, or whatever.
Well, and Mint, too. That was something for me that I don't do any of that, but with Mint it was very easy for me to just see the visual and the colors, and, you know, to take a quick look, okay, I have a general understanding of where we are.
So if people don't know what Mint is, can you tell them?
It's just an online budgeting tool. Yeah, it's free, and you can create your different budgets and connect it to, like, your credit card. It pulls your transactions over and you can code them. And if you're under budget, it's green. If it's over budget, it's red.
Nice.
And really, it helps you project and see, like, your saving. It connects everything. And so initially, we had it planned that it would take us longer to pay it off.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, we just want this to be, like, this is our story, and this is not, like, we know everything at all. And I know it will look different for everyone, but.
Yeah. No, I think that's, I mean, it's helpful, because not everybody is, like, a spreadsheet person. So to know that there's some tools out there that are color-coded, that if you're not, like, loving the whole, like, little blocks, it's like, hey, green is good, red is bad, and to be able to follow it that way. So I think that's just really, really helpful for you to share. Are there any other, like, just practical tips or advice that you would give to folks, you know, if they really wanted to step into just living financially free, overcoming debt, or maybe people don't have debt, but they just want to have greater sense of, like, just freedom, be able to live on less or whatever.
Go ahead.
The one thing I just thought of that we had talked about a couple days ago was the shame, that I think there's a lot of shame that can be associated with debt, especially if it's, you know, credit card debt or whatever it might be for you. And so that was something we had talked about too, of even just finding people that you trust to walk alongside you with it, to encourage you. Because it's never too late to even just start with something very small. So that was something that I think it could be easy to be like, I don't want anybody to know, or, you know.
Right.
And I mean, I think for us, I mean, you highlighted it already, but I think the biggest thing for us was being on the same page, kind of having a plan and then tracking against that plan. It's kind of really easy to be like, well, I want to get out of debt, and then, like, go a couple months and then not really have made much progress. So, like, continuously looking at what you said you were going to do, did I do it, what do I need to change to meet that plan, and then, I mean, there's all kinds of, like, little things that we did. I mean, things like Subway with a coupon, or starting to shop at Aldi, and Aldi,
literally cuts your bills in half,
love rolling up to a party with my Clancy's.
Yeah.
Done a sip and swap, so my whole outfit today is from Friends. We just bring our clothes that either don't fit us or we're done with, swap them, and it's like you don't have to go shopping. So just finding little ways where it's like, oh, that's new to me, old to someone else. But yeah, Aldi was a big budget saver.
I don't know if, like, as a pastor we're allowed to support, like, just kidding. No, it's That's awesome. Any other last thoughts that you guys want to share with us here this morning?
I mean, I think this can be all very overwhelming, and it's intimidating even for us to sit up here, because we're like Laura said, we're not experts at all. I mean, we're happy to talk to anybody that would want to talk or anything like that, but it's just very intimidating, and finances are very personal, and so if you want to talk to us, talk to someone, and yeah, I don't know, that's not much more new information.
Yeah, but. That's great. No. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you guys. Sharon? I'll take it. Thank you. I do appreciate them, Sharon. I know it's not easy to come up and give testimony about finances. Like there's, like Laura was saying, there is kind of this shame or a stigma sometimes around finances. You don't want to like highlight like when you're done well, and you also like maybe there's like this fear of opening up if you're in a place that's struggling. So I'm really just thankful that they were willing to do that, because sometimes I think it's easier to give testimonies about maybe things that we've stepped into to serve or ways that God has broken through in our lives. But sometimes with finance, it's like, I don't know, am I like allowed to share that? And So I'm really appreciative that they did that. And also part of this morning here and throughout this whole series that I hope is that we would be able to push past that shame, that there wouldn't be kind of this stigma or shame around finance. We'd be able to be free to talk about it. And when we're doing well, to be able to share, like, you know, I'm able to have joy because I'm able to give more, and it's been really exciting. And if we're in a place where it's overwhelming and difficult and we're struggling, that we can share and say, I'm overwhelmed right now. Like, would you help me? And to know that there's not going to be like condemnation or shame or anything like that from one another. I just think there can be something really powerful in a community as we're able just to support one another in this, no matter where we're at in that journey, to pray for one another, to support each other, to share with what we have with one another, and to be able to receive well, as also to be able to give well. I think there's both of those things are really, really important no matter where we're at in life. And so hopefully throughout this series, not only have you begun to understand that there's this finances really truly is, it's a heart issue much more than it is about how much or how little we have, and that you've begun to pray and seek the Lord on how we can get our hearts right, but also just to kind of break through kind of that whatever it is with money and finances, that we can be open, we can share lessons that we've learned. Like, this is what has helped me through difficult times, and it's been really freeing, and I just want to offer that to you, whatever that may be. So hopefully you've been able to experience some of that throughout this series. And I do want to encourage you, if you're in a season where it's like, wow, like that does, it feels really overwhelming to me. Like, I don't even know where to start. Like, I don't know how to like make right from where I'm at right now, that you would reach out, you know, talk to Dave and Laura, reach out to me, and I can help connect you with someone else who can kind of walk you through their own journey and sharing what they've gone through. Also, we're exploring offering that the financial peace class that Dave and Laura mentioned in this talk here, and if that's something that you'd want to pursue to walk through, to begin to get just some practical tips and to understand, okay, this is what I need to do now, this is what I need to cut out, this is what I need to invest in, this is what, you know, how I need to organize my whole financial picture. I encourage you to sign up for that class. We're just taking names right now, and then we'll see what kind of interest there is and set up the details from there. But there's a sign-up sheet on the guest services, so just write down your name and email. You're not making a commitment or anything like that, but just to let us know, and we'll get in touch to see what kind of interest there is in that. But it's a great tool. It's been really helpful for a lot of people. And so I highly recommend that if you're just trying to figure out, okay, this was all great these last 4 weeks, but I'm just not sure what next step to take, I would recommend that being your next step to sign up for that and see where it goes from there. So I'm going to invite the worship team up. We're going to close with the psalm. And again, I want to just ask you and invite you to go for prayer. If this is an area of your life that's like, I just need prayer. And maybe this is the first step of like, you feel like you've just kind of kept it to yourself and you want to just open up for the first time, that you go to one of the prayer team members. They'll be in the back and allow them to pray with you and just to support you in that way. So I'm going to pray for us now, and then we'll sing this song together. So if you want to stand, that'd be great. God, we thank you so much that Dave and Laura were able to share just from their own experience and the things that they've learned, the things that they've experienced, or the things that you've shown them, and And I pray that these just tips, these things that they have shared, God, we just begin to talk about, maybe with another friend or with our spouse or whatever that looks like, and begin to set forth some practical steps to get a handle on this so that we can walk in more freedom in life. So God, we just thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to do this series. God, we thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you that you are greater than all of this and that we can truly trust in you for all of our provision. God, that you are greater than any big number that may be out there, anything that we may feel, any fear that we may have. God, you are greater than that. And I pray, Lord, that we would just make you Lord of our lives, that we would trust in you. God, we would walk in obedience and we experience the life that you have for us. So, Lord, we just thank you so much. In your name, amen.